So I'd just like to read a couple of verses to add on to this. We have the prayer of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to, do you have more to say about this prayer?
We're
okay. But there's someone else who prayed like this, and it's the Apostle Paul. So would you turn to Romans 15 for a moment? Romans 15, I'll read verse 5 and verse 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just hold your place there a moment. Colossians chapter 2, this is not a prayer, but it carries the same statements. It gives us something about the heart of the Apostle Paul. Colossians 2, verse 1, I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. So the Lord Jesus prays, he expresses those words in John 17 with a view to the future. Now here is Paul, a couple of decades later. The Christian community has had opportunity to live with the fact of unity having been made, but now there's the practice of whether unity is actually being carried out. And this is his prayer. In Romans 15, may God actually help you to live this way, to be like-minded toward one another. And it will, in this case, it has a spiritual result in terms of what comes out of our mouths with one mind and one mouth glorifying God. But it's like-minded toward one another, which promotes or which creates, could we say, the atmosphere for that spiritual joy to be expressed. If we're not really enjoying like-mindedness toward one another according to Christ Jesus, we're not going to have the power and the expression that will really bring joy to God's heart. On the one hand, it's a fact. We talked about this yesterday too, position and condition, right? Position and practice. And that's what this prayer is. Colossians chapter 2, he's yearning that the people he's never had a chance to speak, people he never met, he really is hoping that they would enjoy this too. You people in Colossae, I've never met you. You people in Laodicea who are going to read this letter that the Colossians receive. He tells them, pass this on to those in Laodicea. And others said, I've never met, verse 1, that their hearts would be knit together in love. And it is the realization, it is the fulfillment of all these doctrinal statements when their hearts are knit together in love. And he says in verse 4, I say this, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. And then he goes on to speak about the particular challenges of those at Colossae were facing. But I'd like to put this in our context. There are lots of persuasive words that will, that are intentionally expressed to undermine the expression of unity, the practice of unity. So we have the prayer of the Lord Jesus, but we have the heart of the Apostle Paul joining in, and we can say the same thing. Let us also pray the same thing for one another, to pray for people we never met, pray for those in Romania and those in Argentina. Some of you have met those in Argentina, but you know what I mean. Pray for those in these places, Mary, where you've never been, but you know there's believers. Pray that their hearts would be knit together. But then also for, you know, the people that we have met. Because that's the part we're responsible for, to actually put that in practice, to have our hearts knit together and not just to put up with each other, but to be knit together one with the other, because that's another part of the answer to the prayer of the Lord Jesus in John 17, actually living as if, living out the truth of what has taken place.
And I think in that verse, I don't have it open, but in Romans 15, I think it's verse 7, just after the portion that you, it says, receive one another in the Lord.
Just as Christ received us to the glory of God.
Yeah. So there, the thought being is that this is more than just a prayer. It should just be more than a prayer for us. In actuality, we should receive one another. And this is really what we're getting at. This is really the gist of our time together this week. That we would receive someone who's different than us. That we would accept them. By receiving, we mean accept them the way they are, with their different culture, different color of skin, whatever it might be, that we would receive them because the Lord has brought us together and the Lord has received us. And so we've learned that we're one. And that's what's on the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so we are down to the last 10 minutes. And I mentioned on Sunday, and someone else mentioned on Sunday, wanted to close out with the fact that two things. One is every generation of believers has to realize that this is something that has to be recaptured. Just like we say, the truth of assembly truth, the things that we are given to us freely of God in the Word has to be rehearsed. They have to be passed down from generation to generation, faithful men delivering these truths to those who are coming along. This is important. This truth has to be practiced as well. But there's something else, and that is what we have in Revelation 5. So if we could turn to Revelation 5, and then we're going to close out on this point. There's a heavenly scene in Revelation chapter 5. And I'll just read the specific verses. Verse 9, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed to God by thy blood. Notice this. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And then go down to verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever. And the four living creatures said amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. There's this great company. This great company that is seen here, and they are rejoicing in the Lamb. Mm. They're rejoicing in the exalted Christ. Mm-hmm. And the scripture makes the point to identify the fact that this great company that has been redeemed is a company that is made up of people from different nations, different kindred, what are the four words here? Different languages, tongues,
people,
and different people groups. And out of all of that mixture and those distinctions, they have one object. Amen. Amen. One object. Mm-hmm. Worthy is the Lamb. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If we want to really overcome in the spirit of the age, which brings about division and we are susceptible to it in our own thinking and in our own ways, we have to get back to these fundamental truths, these fundamental realities that we've been looking at this week, and to realize that in the end, mm-hmm. in the end, that is going to be realized. Every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation represented in the redeemed. And that's why the topic this week is that they all. Who is that all? Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. That's not universalism. He's not saying everybody's going to be saved, but the gospel and the grace of God reaches to people from every nation, from every tongue, from every kindred, from every tribe, from whatever you look like. The gospel reaches, and that is going to be the wonderful scene there in glory, because we're all occupied with one objective. Worthy is the Lamb. Mm-hmm. That objective is an objective we can be engaged with right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when we engage in that objective, we, with the Lord's help, we endeavor, we are purposeful, we are intentional to overcome those divisive characteristics and barriers and reach out and receive one another. We love one another. We work with one another. We have a single goal, one heart, one mind, that we might glorify God while we're here. And that will serve as a powerful witness and a powerful testimony to the world. And we would be resting in and enjoying the Father's love as it's set on us. Mm.